You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Johnson.
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. This is AfterBuzz TV for Shameless. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest Shameless news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, picking up where the show leaves off, and the buzz continues.
It's Shameless, baby.
Ow!
That's right.
Shameless. How are you guys?
Good, good.
So excited.
For those of you watching, listening, I am Phil Svitek, and you may have been wondering where I am. And like Steve, I make my return to Shameless, the after show here at AfterBuzz TV.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Welcome back, buddy.
I'm so glad.
We've got some familiar faces. We've got some new faces that have joined us this season, such as Spicy Mari. Welcome, Spicy. Many of you may remember Curtis Taylor.
Yes, that's
what up.
There he is. It's me. It's me.
And Tom Dutrinas.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Here we are again.
We've got a fourth joining me as well.
Yes.
A completely new face, but we welcome him to the group. I only know him as Q, but I'll let him introduce his full name. Q, how are you?
Good. How you doing? Kasim. Kasim Basir. Yeah.
Love that.
And you're a writer.
I'm a writer-director.
You're a writer-director. And just real quick, what have we seen of yours?
Well, I don't know if you've seen it, but I have a film called Muslim that came out last year. And it's on... Now it's like on Netflix and Stars and stuff like that. But yeah. And it's being nominated for an NAACP Image Award next week.
This week,
this Friday at the Shrine. And it'll be on NBC, so check us out.
That's awesome. You know how come... he hasn't seen it?
No.
Oh, no. Here he goes.
Because I'm not in it.
Oh, my bad.
Okay. Oh.
There
we
go. I knew you were
going to
say something great.
No, it's because I wasn't in it. He's got to put me in the next film. That's the way it works.
That's how it works.
But this is your audition right now. You better be good.
I'm great. You know me. You know how I get down.
Yes.
And you're a longtime Shameless fan, so that's why you're joining us today.
Yes, I am.
And you've obviously seen the first season now all up to this episode.
Yeah, I have. Every episode, I'm with it.
So
he's putting you through the initiation. You're getting jumped in right now. But
every film he's ever done, you know, he just stopped everything on set to make sure he tuned in and watched.
Yeah.
He's like, Shameless is on.
It's 6 p.m. It's 6 and 9 a.m. 9 p.m. on a Friday. Let's do this.
Proceed to jump him in. Go ahead.
Well, what a great episode it was today.
Yeah.
The episode title, Can I Have a Mother? Aptly titled, right, guys?
Yes.
You would agree.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Episode 6. We're midway through the season, by the way, now.
That just hit.
Episode 6.
6?
Yeah, because we got 12 episodes.
It sucks.
I'm not ready for it to be midway.
I'm not ready for it to be midway either.
It's going fast. But again, it's moving at a such weird pace. And I just think of the predictions we made last week coming into this week, and it's nothing
like we predicted.
Off.
You didn't have the benefit of listening to us, but I even forget what we said because now, as we discuss this episode, again, totally different.
Well, my prediction was correct.
What was your prediction?
I predicted that I was going to
return?
Be here. Yeah, I was going to return, and I was going to be able to, you know, to watch the
that
the
was
episode.
A good one.
That was my prediction.
We said some stuff about Fiona and Steve, like, you know, them
we did.
Being squeezes again.
Yep.
But you know what? I mean, let's start with Ethel because, it was kind of a quick plot, but we never foresaw that.
Right.
I don't know how I feel about that plot. Go ahead, Keith. Why do you love
it? Sorry.
I just feel,
the way she was talking about what happened to her last week. Mm-hmm. You know, how they held her down and basically raped her by this 70-year-old man. And, you know, this situation, whether they're married or not, like, she was 11. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he got shanked, I mean, I'm not promoting people shanking people in prison, but he got shanked.
I understand.
And I appreciate that whole situation. Even though it's unconventional, they're only 14, they both have kids. It's like, look, man, it's a great story how it ended up with them too, and I like it. I like the mm-hmm. situation right now.
I mean, I guess for me, it just I never thought I would be there would be such a Ethel heavy storyline. So I don't think I was ready for it. Not that right. it's bad, but I just don't think I was ready for it. Spicy, what are your thoughts?
I appreciate that they integrated Ethel more because I thought that was going to be something that was kind of dry, and they wind up making her story really interesting. Absolutely. They threw a kind of a loop in there when they made her hook up with a black kid who has a kid also.
Yes.
You know, these two teenage love affairs going on. So it was an interracial relationship, just like Kevin and V. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was pretty cute. And then now they're running away together off into the sunset.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I
know your perspective is going to be crazy, Curtis.
Before
I get there, let's get Tom's take on this.
Well, I mean,
Because Tom's
really,
the Mormon, and then...
I mean, I'm such a Mormon. I've got a few wives, you know. You know, I've got a few wives.
Oh. A few hundred kids.
By wives, not wives. Yeah. So I really, you know, I'm really glad that they focused on her in this episode. I'm really glad that we got a taste of Ethel, because this young woman... as an actress is actually very impressive. Mm-hmm. I was very especially impressed in this episode. I'm glad that they featured her, because that last moment with her and Kevin when she was so grateful, I felt it for a minute. Mm-hmm. I was like, little tears. almost tears. But I'm glad that they did something with it. I knew something was coming with an explanation of this. They couldn't just let this girl... The thing about this show is that they never let anyone just kind of like, you know, you just see them for a second. Everyone is explained. Everyone has their moment to come in and out. And there's always a reason why everyone is there. Yeah. And here was her moment to see, you know, like what it was all about. For us to see what it was all about. And I was really glad that they kind of stuck with their guns in this show, and they really like flushed it out even more.
And even that there was a kind of surprise to it. We expected that these cult witches came back for them, as Kevin would refer to them as.
Yeah.
We thought that she was going to run away to go back to the cult, but instead, Malik. So we approve that as opposed to her going back to the cult.
We would have all been pissed if she went be a Mormon like a sister wife. We all would have been upset about it.
Yeah,
totally. But we're all happy about it.
Just because you said the thing about moments, I just wanted to touch on, because that's what's so good about this show. It's about those moments, you know. It's like all this chaos, and every once in a while they're throwing this moment that just makes you like, whoa. Like when she was talking to Kevin in that room, and they had that interaction, and she said thank you, and it was just like, whoa, that was like, I wasn't prepared for that, but I really appreciate that about what they do.
This is the reason why I'm so happy that you're back on the show and we're together, because I feel the same way as Tom, and I agree with you too, Spicy. I love the way Shameless takes every character, and they, like, no one's just thrown in there for no reason.
Right.
Everyone that's put in Shameless, you're going to learn about them. You're going to see their character grow, and you're going to see. It's like it makes a completion, like it's a full circle completion type thing, and that's exactly what they did with Ethel. Because last year when they put her in there, I was like, okay, what's this Mormon
what's
girl?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
what's going on?
Where are they going with this?
Yeah, exactly. And then they went a little deeper, and they put her with this African American kid named Malik, and you know, like we noticed, you know, the way Shameless does certain things that. Nothing's on Shameless and it's by accident. Nothing's by accident.
Mm-mm.
And they placed Malik and you know, and Ethel when they're leaving. You know, I noticed that, you know, they had him with the Caucasian child on the lap, and then she has the African American child.
Absolutely.
I mean, it just like it really crossed the storyline. So it made you think as a viewer, and like, oh wow, this is crazy how, you know, the African American is the one that's holding the Caucasian child. And,
right.
You know, they purposely did that. It wasn't an accident. You kind of got that feeling that it wasn't an accident. You know, I love the way they brought that storyline to a completion as far as we're at.
Well, it was all good until he pulled out that little knot of money, and I was like, oh no.
He did not get enough money.
Like, oh, yeah, yeah.
He did not get enough money for those trash bags of weed.
I will say this, having watched, there's another show that we do, Justified, and there was a whole thing where they actually did what Kevin did, and they buried the weed, and then we found out it's no good because of that. So, ironically enough, for them to get that much money from this weed, it was actually good.
It's no good if you bury weed?
I forget what the full thing is. Go see Justified. It's another AfterBuzz TV show that we cover.
Maybe.
Yeah. Or look it up.
I think Phil just has really good experience with this.
No, he's like,
yeah,
you
know, back up now that I know that.
Yeah. So
we're going to be digging up your backyard. So yeah, be so, man.
Well, hey, if you want to give me $5 for whatever's left over,
exactly. Oh, is that
done? So
that's it. No, just $5 left. Huh?
So one final question before we move on from the Ethel storyline: is this? I know this is kind of a prediction, but is this the end of Ethel? Like, has she become free and we're never going to see her again?
I think she's written her off. She's
done. I just wrote that down. And I saved it for predictions because I was going to wait. But I'm glad I don't think so.
Really?
I think we're seeing
back?
More of this.
Yeah, yeah.
I think this is going to come back to us. This is going to come back.
I will say I feel very bad for Kevin and V because I really believe their love for the child.
I do too.
Totally.
That's the reason why she's going to come back.
I did not think they were going to gain a real relationship with her. I thought they were just using her, and they wound up loving her.
Yes, yeah. And no story on Shameless has ended that pretty.
Yep.
That's very true.
I agree.
I don't remember a story ending that smoothly, where it's like, and they rode off into the sunset, and everyone held hands.
With a knot full of money.
Bought a house.
Yeah, exactly. An argument could be made that they are the only, as Malik says it, you're 14 now, you're all grown up, or something like that. They're the only normal people on the show at one point.
True.
And if normal, that's the whole thing. See, that's what's crazy about Shameless, is we've watched so many crazy situations that we're calling Ethel and Malik normal.
Yeah,
and they're 14-year-old. She's a Mormon. And he's he's like a gang.
He's a gangster.
And he wasn't even in jail. Like,
yeah,
he was a kid.
He's 14 years old and he had someone dealt with in prison.
Yes. Yes.
And we're calling that normal. See, that's amazing. That's amazing that we do that.
That is the world of Shameless.
Exactly.
Either there's something wrong with Shameless or something wrong with us when we think that's like.
But that's what happens. That's what happens.
But as they fleshed out their stories, the normalcy was created by what happened with them. Like, I mean, the fact that they are both so different yet so similar.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that,
I love that.
I think that is what became normal about them. They're just these young parents who are trying to make it.
Yeah.
And that's it. I mean, regardless of the fact that he can get somebody shanked or she was with four other wives.
Totally.
And, you know, it's like the fact is these are 14-year-old people with children.
All they want is the best.
They just
want the
best.
That fell in love.
At all.
And that fell in love.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
There's a true love story of all time.
Good looking kids, by the way.
Good looking kids. Not true love story.
I know.
Karen.
The greatest love story ever wrote.
Karen and Lip.
That is my favorite couple.
They got to give Lip a break, man. Lip has been getting. He's been getting.
He's fighting everyone.
He's been getting it. Like, how is Karen so upset at Lip? I don't understand that. Yeah, he tried to have the girl, you know, sleep with her. But come on, man. The amount of things that she did to him.
Yes.
Like, really? You slept with his dad?
Yes.
Like, you started sleeping with some other dude.
That's
like,
what
you guys were
week.
Together. You just, like, met some other dude and fell in love. You didn't give Lip a chance.
Not even a chance
like,
at all.
Just, and he's just been getting it hard, like, the last few episodes.
Yeah, I'm going to go to Curtis because you made an interesting point as we were kind of watching the episode. When Lip brings up you should get an abortion, you said something. What did you say?
I don't know. You said
that's what he wanted.
That's exactly what he wanted.
So what you're telling, he didn't want her to actually get an abortion, but he wanted her to get mad at him?
He wanted
a reaction.
Yeah, exactly. He wanted a reaction because it was a situation where she had the upper hand. Everything was, like you said, Q, everything was going her way.
Yeah.
You know, and it was one of those things where he was like, you know what? I'm going to say something that's going to give me the upper hand. Is going to, you know, basically send that dagger into her heart because she's always sent these daggers in my heart every time she slaps him in my face emotionally, and I'm going to figure out a way where I could say something or do something that's going to slap her that she will never forget it.
I agree with you. And also to add to that, he also has a very self-destructive attitude as well.
So he does, you know,
getting hit and getting beat up by that big buff dude last season. I mean, he likes to poke, he likes the reactions.
He's perpetuating this anger story going on where he's poking you and he's waiting for a reaction back. It's almost like self-punishment.
Yeah, it's like a person slicing their wrist per se. They're always doing
What he's doing though is when he does not get the reaction from Karen that he wants, then he fights back with fire.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. Could it be more so? Could it also be, okay, this is the one last tie-in that he has it with Karen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he really wants to sever that tie, and everyone's telling him, you know, Karen's a whore, don't go back to Karen.
Right.
by aborting this child, that would be the end of any ties that they have, so to speak.
That's a good way to look at it.
I don't know. It seemed as if, like, when she became angry and she slapped him, he kind of looked relieved. Like, he kind of looked like, that's exactly what it was like, I got what I wanted from her, like this type of anger that I brought up out of her. Because, you know, the saying is, there's a thin line between love and hate. So his thing is like, if I'm not going to get her to love me, then I can get her to hate me. Mm-hmm. And the hate thing is similar to love. Mm-hmm. So and she's not indifferent, because the opposite of love is indifference. You know, it's not hate. So it's like, okay, if she hates me, then that means she loves me. If she's indifferent, like if you said that stuff and she just walked away like it was no big deal, she would have still had the upper hand because she's indifferent. She doesn't even care about what he says. Mm-hmm. But the fact that she cared about what he said and what he thought, let him know, she's still, you know, I still have her.
Yep, I still have her around my finger. Exactly. Yeah. Absolutely.
And I think that when she said, what do you want us to run away together? And I think that was her, she wanted to get a reaction from him. Uh-huh. She was hoping that he would agree with her and say, yes, of course, that's what I want. She wants Lip to fight for her, I think. And what Lip's not doing is fighting for her. I think when he comes back, he's telling her, look, you're stupid, you're dumb, you're with a moron. But he's not saying, look, I want to be with you, I'll take care of you.
Yep. Yes, and she wants that.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, because one thing that Josie does give her is love. Like, from his actions and his behavior, he shows more love than Lip does.
Yeah, and you do understand that she came from a loveless situation,
like,
with her father.
Loveless.
She's looking for a daddy,
yes,
as we know.
Exactly.
And
daddy issues.
And yeah, she has daddy issues, and she come from a loveless situation with her dad. So it's a natural thing to play two men together and try to get the ultimate love, which is what she's been. I mean, she's doing it all in the wrong ways,
right?
But she's.
Well, I mean,
she's,
what is she? 16? I don't know. Yes. It's just like,
right.
It's not like
she's not telling any awareness.
She's really messed up.
I keep telling Phil that. Phil just keeps.
Yeah,
he has a crush on her.
Phil thinks Karen's amazing.
Yeah. We already have, but we've been through several AfterBuzz shows.
Go to episode 7 of like.
Literally.
Wow, you know the episode.
No, it's an episode. I'm just throwing it out there.
No, he knows the episode.
Every week.
It's burned out on the DVD.
Over and over, he watched.
He's actually the birthmark on her left hand.
But, you know, I mean, speaking of the self-destruction of Lip, when he went into the wedding, so to speak, I thought he was going to do a lot more.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
he kind of went in there. He was like, give me the Jameson.
But that's what they do. They flip the script on you. And
yeah, they do.
Became about the grandma.
Yeah. Right. But you want to know something, though? I think if he kind of like caused a fight or a ruckus, we would have been like, oh, Lip. But he said something like that. If ever I heard someone say that to someone else, I'd be like, what did you just say? That is not your decision.
Yeah.
The abortion thing.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, you know, whatever the views are on people in abortion, that's not what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, if you see someone say that, I mean, like, that is a bold statement.
Yeah. Yep.
That hurts more than just, like, you know, causing a fight at the party. Yeah. Yep. Who cares about that? When you say that, it's like, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because he came out there to her while she was alone. He wanted to have that conversation.
He was ready.
Easily.
That's what he was thinking about outside drinking the beer. He's like, I can't wait to tell her this.
Yep. Can't wait to
he's
have the
destroying every single relationship.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. He's destroyed Ian's relationship. Him,
right.
He and Ian.
Fiona's,
you know,
like, fix it. I'm not going to have this in the house. She's the same thing. Like,
well, before, I mean, before we'll talk about Ian and Lip's relationship, but let's stay on Karen, because I do have a counter argument to what you just said.
Oh,
on the Ian.
Go ahead.
No, let's finish up with Karen and Lip.
I feel like that's, you know, that's all we can really say is that, you know,
all right,
well, I'm anxious to see where it's going to go, but that's predictions.
Well, for the Ian and Lip thing, I think it's not as much him being self-destructive. That was more accidental. Mm-hmm. And he's actually...
Yeah, I'm like, why is Lip so upset?
No, what's
why is Ian so upset?
What's destructive is the way that he's handling it.
Well, I don't understand why Ian is so upset at Lip. It's not like he went and tried to get into West Point. Like, it was a mistake. The guy thought it was because he hadn't had the opportunity to tell the recruiter that it was his brother. He was just sort of making headway. And all of a sudden, Ian's not talking to Lip anymore. What is that?
As a woman, I'm going to say, I am not a man, as you guys can tell, but one thing that I do know is when a man doesn't get respect, all hell breaks loose. And what Ian didn't get from Lip was respect. He said, let me do this. I will take care of it myself. And his brother did not show him his respect that he deserved. And he jumped in and intervened and then hurt his brother's pride in the process.
He was still trying to help.
You sure you ain't got like, no balls down there? You
dead on? No, I was dead on. No, I was dead. Then she was right. She's right.
He was still trying to help him though.
But respect is everything for a man.
I know.
It was about respect. That's what I was trying to say. Ian is all about respect. He's that's kind of like what his character is always like fighting for, you know. He's always kind of like trying to prove that he is like always, a solid person.
Wait a minute. Am I the only person who agrees with Q? Yes. I said that last week. I said that, so what, Ian? You're getting a little bit of help from your brother. It doesn't matter. You got to take that little bit of help. No, Ian has enough things to deal with to go through these challenges or boulders through his life. Why doesn't he accept a little bit of help? That's how you get success
in
life.
I'm going to argue all of you, and hopefully the audience agrees with me. I think Ian is a smart kid, not in the book sense smart, but a smart kid. And I think for him, it's realizing the fact that the army isn't going for thugs like me. They're actually going for intellectuals such as my brother. And so, what place do I have in this world? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a struggle there.
He's taking that out on his brother.
Yes, he is. Absolutely. I see that.
I think
it's a mixture of all these things.
It's a mixture of all those things.
It's still, like, as much support as Lip has shown Ian, come on, when he came out, he's the only one that he accepted him. He's had his back all this time. And then from this one thing, he's going to, like, just... What are you not talking to? I mean, it's just really.
I will say, as a gay man who was a gay teen, drama. Like, he's just loving the drama. Like, when someone kind of, I thought, wronged me when I was a young teenager, and that's why this show is so effing good, because they just write so well for each and every one of them. So taps into each and every, like, an experience that you had. When I was wronged like that, of course, like, I would just take it way too far. It'd be way too dramatic.
Yeah.
And Ian, it does take it a little too far with his dramaticism, however you want to say it.
And that is not something I knew.
So, Tom, I didn't know that either. You're gay?
I've got five or six wives.
Oh, okay.
I just talked
about the wives.
I have friends that are.
Okay.
I have a few friends that maybe might be.
Really? Okay, there we go. I wasn't sure.
But, like, in the scene that was inside of the 7-Eleven or wherever it is.
Cash's Corner.
Whatever that's called.
Cash's.
Cash's Corner.
Why do you know the name of that store?
I don't know if it's Cash's Corner, but I know it begins with Cash. And speaking of, where has Cash
left?
Yeah, where has
he gone? The guy with the burqa on.
But what about the wife? That's
he
it.
He left his family. Like, you don't
remember. He'll be back.
I know,
he'll
be back. The wife being the way that she is, I would have expected her, like, what
to
the hell?
That woman. Yeah.
This is bullshit.
Yeah.
Ian, that woman. Where is she?
She's beautiful.
Yeah, you thought they were going to go more there with it.
I mean, I can't wait for that to come back.
Yeah, I can't wait for it. It'll come back.
Because Ian hasn't had, like a love interest moment in a while. When was the last time he had someone, like, on the show that he was...
His boyfriend who got out of jail, and they slept together.
That they slept together, but I'm looking for like some more headway in that. I'm not a deep one. I just want to see more movement in that area. It's been kind of dormant, and I want to kind of see that movement again, which I watch next week or the week after.
It's gonna come. I'm sure.
Well, I'm thinking as far as predictions a little bit. The guy from West Point who originally talked to Lip, he did make an inappropriate comment to Lip. He said, "Suck my." You know, whatever. So what I'm thinking is that was a comment he simply said to Lip, but at the same time,
that's not something you just say. Like, you know,
will it be a point of? And this is not, I don't know how to say this the right way, but it's like it will be possibly a point where Ian can't get in, but he's gonna get it in. I don't know if that's even appropriate.
Bam!
Great prediction.
Bam!
Should
have seen that.
Yeah, because like I said, that's not something that a guy just says to a young kid.
No,
you know, it's just.
No.
Yeah.
No. I was like so thrilled. I was like, wait. What?
Yeah.
Again, they put these little things in there, and they all mean something.
Because that was on the last preview too. They showed that little snippet for whatever reason again. They showed it to us
shameless.
Again.
That's shameless. Yeah. I love it.
We're gonna see that again.
Mm-hmm.
We will.
But the reason that I brought up the Cash's Corner was just because of the fight that they got in, where Ian couldn't just speak with Lip, and Lip just respond like an adult. He starts throwing food. He has a food fight with his brother in his store. Mm-hmm. He just acts out. He just wilds out.
Yeah.
Well, Lip is just on it. He's on a whole path. Between Karen and his brother,
he's so hot.
He's done, man. He'll do anything right now. He's in a really bad place right now.
But like, that's not how you get someone to make up with you.
but he's in a bad place.
Just
like
know that.
Well, just like Q said, he's in a bad place. I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, he's his own worst enemy right now. Like, he can't seem to stay out of his own way. Right. And
well, he's
and,
sort of always been.
It's yeah, just yeah like, he's always been. It's just point, getting it's more. Just yeah, it's getting. Yeah, it's
like
just,
because
yeah.
of all these issues that Absolutely. Are going on presently.
That, and Ian's supposed to be the guy that he's supposed to go to. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
exactly.
you talked about right. Ian opened up to Lip about being gay. And vice versa, whereas, I mean, not that Lip went, came out, but right. about the whole Karen thing,
Karen.
And instead Ian's calling her a whore.
Right.
Yeah. You know what yeah. I mean? And rather than being sympathetic.
Great point, right. Phil. I love that. That's so yeah. true.
And you know, so that's he always why gets, he's throwing the tantrum.
Yeah, he gets even. Lip gets even. He doesn't.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, he doesn't.
They all have their own, like, their father. They all have, like, pieces of their yep. father's, like, faults.
Yeah. Yes.
Each and every one of them has something, and it's blown out of proportion in each one, and that's why it's so phenomenal.
Except Ian, because that's not his father. But that's
a no, whole no, yeah, thing. But yeah, that's true.
That guy looked just like he looked just like
that guy. You know, yeah. a certain way.
He
grew up with him.
What? Oh, my. Like, that was just great like, casting. I was
it
like,
really was.
Come
it really
on,
was.
Man,
like, wow, that's his real dad. It's got to be.
Because I popped come sit in yeah. the scene real quick. For
well, by the way, speaking of, this is a quick comment. Part of the reason why they are so close, A, on the set, and I think they, you know, they make it seem like they do have these traits as a family is mm-hmm. because, I don't know if they do it this season, but I know last season they all kind of went over to William H. Macy's house and watched the shows
yeah,
together.
Together. Yeah.
You know, the
oh,
whole
nice.
Cast.
Yeah.
Nice. That's
that,
cool.
That's, I mean...
That's how we become a family at the After Buzz.
Absolutely.
That's
right. Watch it.
I mean, you know,
even,
all,
though I get, even though I had to watch it downstairs, you know, it's a big screen.
Speaking of quick facts, I don't know if y'all know, but this show was in the UK before.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you have Netflix or something, check that out.
Yes,
yeah.
I want to see that. I want to see what the
I mean, I haven't
are.
Seen it, but... I don't know.
It was great. I, you know, from what
they
I
have
heard,
like four or
good.
Five seasons or something.
Yeah, yeah. which is unheard mm-hmm. of for UK shows, really.
Right.
Yeah. You know, they usually do like two seasons
yeah.
at like six episodes a pop.
Yeah.
You know. But moving
man.
On to let's get on to Steve.
Oh yes.
Or Jim.
Jim Steve.
Jimmy
whatever you prefer.
I don't know anymore.
Fiona just, the guys.
It, you know, yeah. the past episodes with Fiona and her, like, whatevers, and I'm just like, and then he comes back on, I'm like, yeah.
Good for Steve.
Yeah.
I, quick fact, years ago, like 6-7 years ago, at it was a student film at University of Michigan that Steve was in. Called Spiral Project or something. They like
wait. So is it Steve, Justin Chadwick, the actor.
Yeah, the actor. It was like one of his first films, and mm-hmm. we were like working together. I worked like one day on it, just helping out on some stuff. But yeah, just a quick fact.
That's,
now
that's
to see him,
see him
doing
now.
Sailies,
see him now.
Doing
yeah,
good
see him
in the game.
He's making a nice.
What was your interaction with them on? Like, what was your role? And then
oh, I didn't. They wanted to use my mom's place to shoot in, and mm-hmm. a guy that was working on it. His mom knew my mom, and that all. So the day they came to shoot, like I just was there, and you know, making sure everything was cool. And,
did you know, talk but, to them? Did you like? Hey,
no, yeah,
hey,
we know each other. Like, we met and everything. And then after that, when the movie premiered and all that, we saw him a few more times. But
and this was
yeah,
7 years ago.
It was probably about. I don't want to put anybody's age. You know, he probably tries to play younger, but actually, no, he's playing. He's what is he playing? 30?
No, he's playing yeah. in his late 20s.
Yeah, sure.
So, mid-20s.
This was like, I think this film was made in 2004, 2003. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like 8 years ago.
Yeah, 2004 or 5 or something like that.
Student
but yeah.
film, though.
Yeah, yeah, but yeah, it was good.
By the way, is it available anywhere? Like, can our fans check it out?
Yeah, look, man, Google. It's called The Spiral Project.
The Spiral Project. I'm gonna have to check that out.
Yeah,
how
yeah,
funny.
So, well, I think he was playing a pimp or something like that.
I'm gonna make you get me the link.
He's
fitting. Fitting.
He's still playing a pimp. Actually.
Exactly.
He's still playing a pimp.
Yeah, he is.
There
yeah,
we go.
Never had a loss for women on this show.
No,
he looks great though.
Brazilian
he looks really good though.
Yeah,
coming back this episode.
And you know what? Speaking of Tom's point of like, you know, the other episodes were kind of with the other guys, and you know that was sort of the feeling that I think they were going for
because
that's what Fiona felt.
Yeah,
all these guys are.
They didn't want any of us to like anyone until Steve came back.
But that's just
they did
really crap.
It's
really crappy though. That's just so disrespectful what she did to Steve in this episode. That's just so disrespectful. You go in the bathroom and make out with it while you're on. I just hate stuff like that.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
I
just. I mean, I know everybody wants her to get back with you know.
I know what you're saying.
They want her to get back.
She's with Adam. They want her to get back with Steve.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. But that whole situation, Adam, good for him for walking out on her like that.
Yeah. No. That was great.
Absolutely.
That was great.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I'm just glad that Deb finally came out with that.
Finally.
Yeah. It took a long time. Like, it's six episodes in.
Yeah.
And it was like, what, how many episodes?
A few episodes before. The first, it was like episode 9 or 10.
Exactly, where she found out that tidbit that Steve is actually Jim, and he's a rich kid, and he goes to school. And
do you think that she's recognizing that Steve is bad for her? And that's why she's...
Absolutely. I mean,
yes. Because she also tells him that, hey, by the way, my sister's over you.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, knowing that she's not, why would you do that?
Because Deb doesn't like Steve Jim.
Yeah,
she doesn't like him because she... Go ahead.
He's a liar.
Yeah, he's a liar. He's a liar. I mean, you can't... Here's the thing about relationships a little bit. I'm sure you understand this, but you can't start a foundation on a relationship with a lie.
Very true.
There's no way you can come from that lie if the foundation is built on.
Well, the thing is, if you say, "Oh, actually, I make $80,000 a year," and you actually make 35, that's one lie.
Yes, girl might be,
but you lie about your entire life.
Exactly.
Like, yes.
Even right down to his name.
It's insane.
Yeah, it's crazy.
He made up an entirely different person.
It's fraud.
And that's why I think he's such a fun character to watch, because you never know if he's telling the truth.
No,
because you always think he's telling the truth, and then I'm like,
because he looks so honest. He really does. He looks really honest.
You would never expect that guy to walk up to you and be like, "Yeah, I'm totally missed you." And I'm like, "What? Like, wait,
I'm not sure." So, did you guys get the feeling that when he was telling her about the whole "I had to marry her because of the drug lord that was going to cut my ear off"? Do you think that was a lie, or he's really just...
No, I think that's kind of true. I don't know. He likes to screw that Brazilian girl.
Because they're having a relationship.
No, I think that might be true though, because I mean, he didn't get all that money from nowhere, and it's not like... I don't know if he's... He's a rich kid. Yeah, but
he's a trust fund baby. Like he literally has.
He knows how to work the system. But I think that's a true story. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah,
but it's not like a trust fund baby's not going to have a bunch of cash stashed in.
No, it's
drug money.
They'll
probably have an account. They'll probably, you know, so
no.
Have a ton of cash in there.
He's a crook. I mean, naturally he's a crook. I mean, because he lied. So I mean, his lie was so deep. So you know he's a crook. Because anybody can keep a lie like that for so long is a crook.
Yeah,
I mean, so you know he's doing some crooked stuff on the side, because you know a lot of trust fund babies that like to hang around in the hood, they're the worst. Like I've grew up in the hood, so I've ran into... actually, I was dating a girl that was pretty much... her family was really loaded, but yet she was just... so she just liked to hang around with drug dealers. No, she liked to hang around with drug dealers, and so she...
issues.
So yeah, exactly. So she kind of put on that facade to be like she was really... and you know, when people do that kind of stuff, they're over the top. Like they're really, really... they're deeper than what a hood person would be. Because I was in the hood. I was trying to get up out the hood.
Right.
People like, I don't understand somebody.
It looks cool.
Yeah, it looks cool. They're trying to get in the hood. Like, I'm like, you're trying to get in.
It's not cool.
Yeah.
It's not cool at all.
No, having the lights cut off is not really cool.
You can't make a phone call.
No, not cool at all. I mean.
But either way, Steve, he needs to stop.
Yeah, he needs to stop.
Because if he goes to prison, it's a wrap.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's a...
he's a pretty boy. He's a pretty boy.
He said it. He said in the last episode, "Look at me. If I go to prison, you're right. So stop.
Now
you're dealing with drugs?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
No one gets away when that starts to happen.
Absolutely,
you do not get off the hook.
Busting him out though, so that way, hopefully, Fiona can start to get over him.
Yes.
Or
at least give her a solid foundation. So therefore, you know, if she decides she wants to mess with him, she knows who he really is. Because he's clearly wasn't going to come out with it. He wasn't going to come out and tell her.
No, he was never going to say anything.
Now she's like, "Hey, Jim, you know, F off," you know, basically.
Yeah.
And you know, now he has to explain himself. So he's going to have to, like, he called.
That's all he's been doing, though, since the beginning.
He's really going to have to explain. Because the thing is, there's a difference between explaining yourself on a lie. But now he has to explain himself with the truth being revealed. So now he has to really, really come out with the truth.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
I can't wait till next episode. I just want to know.
So is Adam gone, like, for good? Or is Adam
no.
gone?
Man.
Because Adam was a nice guy. She kicked away, she threw away a nice guy for Steve.
No, yeah, I mean, he's going to want to have sex with her again.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to have sex with her, and I've never had sex with her.
I don't know. I don't think he's going to come back. If anything, she'll come back to him.
Yeah.
If he comes, Adam wouldn't come back.
That move right there, that's over.
And he believes that they slept together in the back.
Yeah.
So,
yes.
Like, that is just, even as a man, like, you might love her, but it's if you come back after that as a man,
You saw.
You might as well just go and get a sex
change. Yeah, you forget about
like,
it.
It's like that. You can't.
Yeah, you can't. How do you witness that? Like, that's a pride thing.
Man, somebody on a date with you goes in a bathroom.
And then you go in there and you see
that's not okay. No, that's not okay for anyone. to do that.
It's not. That's what
but as a man, we can't really handle that. Right. Like, I can't handle.
Note to self.
I can't handle.
Not do that.
Yeah, don't do that.
I'm taking.
Don't
notes.
Do it unless it's the same guy.
Exactly. Spicy, is that how you got your name?
That's how you got your name.
Spicy.
With your ex-wife.
Oh my god.
With a new situation.
So should I come back and apologize?
Absolutely. Try not to go on a double date with someone you're still in love with.
Yes. Okay. Let's try that first.
That's massage right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And poor Fiona, I'm sorry. The girl was hot. That Brazilian girl was hot.
Oh my god, that Brazilian, that was casting.
And that's another thing you hate is if someone does better, like they kind of recover.
When they recover on her finger,
yeah.
When that shot where we saw like the ring and Fiona's reaction to the ring, and how she was like angry.
Fiona does not have a poker face at all.
Let me ask you guys this: why then is Steve back? What is he doing back here?
Like, because it's unresolved. Because it's unresolved.
Big time unresolved.
You come with your wife back. You come back into Fiona's heart.
Because he loves her in some strange way.
And I also think he might be in some trouble. The drug stuff, I think it might be more serious than what he was.
Because what's going on with him and Tony?
Oh, the house. That was last season.
I remember that. But
he still
doing
has
something?
To pay him off.
Yeah, okay, so he was just making a payment.
Because Tony said never come back again.
Right.
But, you know, Tony's also in the wrong because if Fiona ever finds out that he got the house because
it's
of
a
that,
rat.
Oh, yeah, it's,
then Fiona's going off on Steve,
ballistic.
You know, so it's like,
it's gonna all
that's
going to
happen.
It's yeah, it's going down. It's going down.
That's going to happen.
It's definitely going down.
What do you think, Phil?
Well, I'll tell it all in predictions, but I'm excited. I'm excited because we've got 6 episodes left and all of this is converging.
Oh, yeah.
You know? But let's talk about the mother.
Grammy.
Her name is Louise Fletcher.
What is it?
Louise Fletcher. Okay, I'm saying right. Louise Fletcher is Grammy. That's her real
name.
I can start. The devil.
She was the original Nurse Ratched in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest with Jack Nicholson.
Nice.
Oh, yes.
Nice.
She's done Star Trek, Deep Space Nine, Private Practice, Cruel Intentions, a lot of TV shows, but Cruel Intentions, one of my favorite movies.
Wait, who was she in Cruel Intentions? I know. She had a shameless, or Ryan Phillippe had a shameless moment where she's like, "What'd you say? I'd like to F your daughter." What was that? Would you like a glass of water?
I'm happy you remember that, Phil.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, there you go. Thank you, Ronnie.
Young, beautiful women you remember.
That's
grandma, I thought, in every single episode, I have wanted to strangle or punch or stab Frank. Right?
Yes.
He makes me so angry. Just, you know, trying to be a responsible man. It just makes you crazy, the things that he does.
Right, right, right.
Tonight was the only time I felt kind of bad for him because I met his mother.
Totally.
Yes.
Like, she
how
was just,
well did they set that up, though?
Man. Oh, my God.
They explained it all to us. It's like, we get it.
It's bad. Where he it was. Is bad. I cannot imagine my mother saying a 20th.
No, if my mom said that,
I would be I don't know. I don't know what I would do.
Yeah. So you was a loser out the womb. You came out the womb.
Right.
Stilling.
By the way, it's, ironically enough, it negates the comment that Frank said to Carl that you're lucky I didn't pull out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And the fact that we can say that it literally negated that.
Yep. It did. It was. It was.
I didn't even think that was possible.
Well, he came. You know. Well, he said that and turn around to someone else. He was the same kind of mistake.
But also, and this is sort of contradicting what I just said because I said I felt bad for him. Mm-hmm. But to you guys' point, it's like he's still a grown man, and he's still accountable.
And you have to say,
we all have stuff. You know, everybody's had stuff that they've done. And you could either ride that wave for the rest of your life and say, "Oh, this happened to me when I was," or you can
rise
man up,
above it,
or stand up and be like, "You know what? Yeah, that happened, but I'm gonna." So, like, at the end of the day, I'm not saying that I care about Frank much now. I still probably want to strangle him, but you know, it's still like just one moment where I was like, man, that's that mom.
I mean, but what happened when he stood up? We saw him trying to stand up and that didn't work out too well.
I don't mean in that way. I mean in the way of just being
like
responsible and just becoming,
you know what was interesting? I mean, they're at the bar and you know, they're talking with Kevin like, "Hey, can we borrow your truck?" And you know, how many situations where we've seen Frank of like, "Can I get this? Can I get this?" They're like, "No, ride the bus," or whatever. They've always called him out on whatever BS he's doing.
Right.
And you know, you talk about the lineage of because the mom tries to do the same thing, and that's when Kevin tells her, "No, ride the bus."
to wherever the hell you got to go. And ironically enough, we've never seen that with the kids. So they've been able to stop that kind of progression of, like, you know, being known as liars or, like, you know, basically being called out on their BS.
And that's good. It's always somebody has to break the cycle at some point. And, you know, that is a great point. And I think they have a lot of their own stuff going on. But at the end of the day, you're right. They're not like their dad. You know, they all have some of him, but they're not as horrible, because he's a horrible, horrible person just overall. And I think we've seen his mom is too.
You're right. When we see a lesser version of the mom, like, we thought Frank was crazy, and then we saw the mom and we're like, whoa. Like,
that's where the source comes from.
But it was so interesting to see their interaction and them trying to get this money back, and, like, his mom running scams even at 70, just getting out of jail. She was supposed to be in there for 20 years. She only got 12 years. And, like, they're going back and forth about how much money she should really get back, and she stabs her own son.
Yeah.
Like, who does that to their child?
My God. Well, someone, she really is disappointed in this man. Like, she is, like...
Oh, yeah, she doesn't like her child, like, at all.
No, not at all.
But like, she loves her grandkids, though, even though, you know, she had that moment in the car where she's like, I don't want to hear about these things.
Yeah.
But then you can kind of see it when she was with all of them that she really does care about these kids and wants them to be okay. And I think that's why she's there. And she's like, and she's staying. She's like, well, it's my house now.
Really? You think she cares about the kids?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I think so.
Absolutely.
Well, what is her other motivation for staying?
Exactly.
No, like, no, it's those children.
She could take that 75 grand and go and live somewhere for...
She could.
But that money's going to run out. She's like Frank in the sense of...
But she's going
to
find more money.
Lay her head. I think she's just trying to find somewhere to lay her head. I think we're going to see Grams walk out on them, and they're going to be hurt.
I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised because it's this fucking show.
Let it out.
I'm sorry. Oh, God.
Curtis, every time the tiebreaker.
Every time I curse, I look at Phil. I'm like, oh, God, I'm going to get in trouble.
I don't think she's going to leave. I mean, she brings that. Now, having her on the show is like, wow. Like, she pretty much brings the whole show to a like completion as far as, you know, you say, okay, this is, you know, now I understand where these Gallaghers come from. I understand why Frank does what he does. You know, I understand, you know, the struggle and, you know, him not really caring about anybody else because no one really cared about him. But the thing is that it was a really intense moment when Frank had the gun. And, you know, I felt like he wasn't going to shoot her because there's a part of him that really, really loves her.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, it's your mom.
Well, I mean, he called the cops. Like, hey, they got this lady.
No, that's because he wanted her back in prison.
Yeah, he wanted her back in prison.
That's the perfect situation for him. He gets his 75 grand.
Yeah.
She's back in prison. She's not dead.
Yeah.
You know, but maybe she'll die there. But at least he's not responsible for killing her.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, my God.
He would never...
I couldn't even believe that was like about to happen. I was like, "This."
Yeah, it was an intense moment.
I didn't think he was going to do it, though.
I didn't think he was going to do it either. But it was just a very intense moment for him to put a gun to her and, like, basically, like, you know, I want to kill her. But then he ended up laying it down by her head. And then I got scared.
Because
when people are like that, you know, volatile like his mother is, I was like, she's snoring.
She's going to wake up.
And grab the gun, and grab boom, the gun and boom, shoot him.
I thought that was going to happen.
Because that's what people like that do, you know. So it was still
sleep with one eye open.
Yeah, big time.
The fact that you have to watch your back from your mom.
I know.
Watch your back from her child.
I just don't know how long Frank could keep doing this, though. Like, how long can you keep pulling scams, keep trying to get people's pension? Like, how long can this go on? Can you do this for your whole life?
I know people personally that, you know, they spend their whole life dedicating to it.
I think that's the thing, and it's wearing out.
But he's been in that same place, and everyone knows him as this.
Well, not to cut you off, just for the sake of time, since we're running out. You know, one of his scams finally ran out, and I'm very proud of Sheila.
Sheila,
yes,
big time, big time.
Congratulations!
I think that she's not going to let him back. I don't think that.
Oh, you think that relationship's over?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, she'll still be around.
Put his foot in his mouth.
Well, it's a couple things. It's a couple reasons, and I agree with you because it's a couple. Number one, Frank did not stand up for her at all.
Yeah.
No. When his mom.
Yeah.
And it's one that thing. It's one thing to, like, you know, get back at your mom, but at least tell your mom, like, yo, chill out.
This is my girl.
Yeah. Like, you can't. He didn't say anything
except let him figure it out. Let him fight it out.
Right. And number two, he heard how he talked about, you know, I've been putting in work and, you know, going off on the guy. So she started to, like, between those two things, I think she's just done with him.
Yeah, she's got to be done with him. I mean, she stood up. Here's a woman that was afraid to go outside of her house.
She's, you know, every episode she comes across as the most timid woman alive. But she stood up to the most ruthless of the Gallaghers, who, quite frankly, Frank is, you know, he's under her. And she just stood up to her. And I applaud Sheila, just like Phil was doing. And I was applauding with it because I applaud her. I mean, the girl put a gun to her. And she's like, what? Like, pull the trigger. I mean, that's gangster. Yeah. Like, that's just really gangster. Yeah. She's like, what? What? What you going to do? Shoot me. You gonna, and she didn't even flinch.
No, she didn't.
Yeah, that was hard. I mean, that's gangster right there.
She was also on drugs. And she was drinking.
She was. Yeah, but she was gangster.
Liquid courage when you're doing that.
Yeah. Like, yeah, but that was gangster. No, but she followed it up. She followed it up with... When Frank, you know, had the episode, had the little situation with Karen's husband, she followed it up with, like, get out. I think it's time for you to leave.
That's
like,
true.
She was just straight
that
on. So she had basically looked like she turned over a whole new leaf. Like, she's not going to be the scared Sheila anymore. And she's going to, like, step up and she's going to put her foot down and say, this is what I want. This is how it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And if you don't like it, keep it pushing. And I applaud her for that.
I think the reason that she's able to take that step with Frank, though, is because, much to my point about men, they demand respect. Mm-hmm. When a woman feels like she is not loved, it's a wrap. And I think in that moment, she realized, you didn't really love me. You were using me.
Yeah.
And so when we realize that, oh, deuces.
It's over.
Deuces. Lose my number.
All right, for the sake of time, real quick, let me get a comment from you, Q, and then we'll go to Tom on all of this. And then if you guys have any quick things, that'll be that. And I do want to say, for those of you listening, there's so much to talk about. We don't always get a chance to talk at length, given the time constraints. You know, we can go on for hours and hours.
Absolutely.
But feel free to tweet at us at AfterBuzzTV or Spicy_Mari.
Thank you. Tweet
Curtis,
at me.
You don't have a Twitter,
no,
right?
No, I just Facebook.
But you have a Facebook. Yeah. Okay, Facebook. Curtis, Tom, what's your Twitter?
My Twitter is TDT. TEEDETEE.
Jesus, what is that tongue twister?
You want to know why? Because my last name is Detrinus. So I'm like Tom Detrinus.
We need a sing along. TDT.
Yeah, TDT.
We have a little ball going.
A little ball. TDT.
And Q, where can they, for more thoughts of yours, where can they find you?
Oh, I'm at Qasim B. Qasimb.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's easy. That's an easy
And you have a website too, right?
Well, I have Facebook, you know, like a Facebook page or whatever. Oh, okay. So, I mean, facebook.com/Qasim A Basir.
All right. And what are your kind of wrap up thoughts about the Sheila thing?
Well, I'm happy for her. I was happy for her when she took those steps, and I really thought she was going to break out of that. So it was really sort of disturbing to see, you know, the plane, the wheel from the plane. Like, does that happen ever?
No.
Just one in a billion times.
It happened in Donnie Darko.
Right, exactly. But so that... I was so bothered by the fact that she's back to her room.
Yeah.
She can't even almost leave her room. So for her to make that stance tonight, I was really proud of her. I'm happy for her because I've been rooting for her the whole time, and I feel really bad. And she comes off as comical a lot of times in this episode, but really, it's very, very disturbing. You know, her ailment. You know that that is a very it's a very real disease, and it's and I feel bad for her. So for her to be able to stand up. I feel like moving forward, she's going to do a lot more. So.
Fair enough. Well, Tom, I'm unfortunately going to cut you off. Well, hold on, Ronnie. Before let's do quick predictions. Sorry, Ronnie, and then we'll wrap up this show.
You're after Buzz.
I know Ronnie's going to kill me from in the booth.
I know.
Yeah. He's trying to wrap us out. We're taking up time of all the after buzzers, but
I will.
So juicy.
I will say this: Phil has done the booth all five. This is what, the sixth episode.
Yeah.
And he has explained, and I'm going to tell you guys. He explained it's so hard to be in the booth and hear you guys talk about the show. I'm one episode behind. It's not about jumping in. I'm an episode behind, so I'm like, what are they talking about? Because there's like a whole, like you guys had said earlier, there's a whole new can of ideas and weird things. Like I was left at the lip Karen thing, but evidently there's more drama
Tons
going on.
More.
Yeah. Yep.
Now you know how I felt last week.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
See, that took skill. It took skill for me to sit over here and still count.
All right, so what do we got next week? We got to get rid of the mother. And that's how they kind of open up the tease that we see.
She can't stay, man.
I think she's there to cause more chaos.
She has to stay.
It's too much, man.
We need her for the storyline. They got rid of Ethel. They brought in Mama.
It's perfect.
Well,
Mother's perfect.
I can't stand to see her. So I don't know. It's just she can't stay. I think she's gonna go, but I don't know. We'll see.
Is she gonna die?
I don't know. If she'll die.
Oh, I don't know.
I think that's how we're gonna see her leave the show. is probably her death. But then again, every time we predict something, Shameless always throws us for a loop.
Yeah. She goes back to prison. One and two.
She could.
Yeah.
But I think it's gonna be something more crazy than that. Something far more crazy.
I know that she's here for several episodes.
I do too.
Yeah. But we'll see what happens with her.
Yeah.
But I love that they brought her in, because all of us have this like weird thing where we blame our parents for our issues. It's just something that we do. You know, I'm cut like this because my mom did it. Yeah. So I think that that's awesome that they brought her in to show us that. But I would love to see is Fiona confront Steve.
Steve, yeah.
Jimmy.
Yeah. I want to fight
Jimmy. Is she going to call him Jimmy now?
Yeah, she's
gonna call him. She was like, Jimmy. So I would love to for him to be able to have the opportunity to confront him.
Happen. Yeah, that's definitely going to happen.
And they always end the tease on that. Like, I forget what we exactly saw, but it was the last thing as we left. You know, that little teaser was Fiona and Steve doing something.
Because how do you explain your identity lie? Like,
I also think things are going to start, because based on the teaser they showed, I think things are going to start falling apart between Karen and her husband.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Because
that whole situation where she's like, why are you crying every time we, you know, I think things are going to, and I don't know for sure if Lip is going to get back with her, but I do believe they're going to cut Lip some slack in the next episode.
Yeah.
And either, you know, his brother will make up with him or something good will happen between him and Karen.
I'm sorry, last point in regards to that, because that made me just think about the money, the $75,000 that Karen just inherited from the will or the insurance. What's going to go on with that? Because Jody picked up that letter. But I'm saying Jody picked up that letter. So do you think that he might be able to get his hands on it after like Karen inherits it? Or
because they're married legally.
Yeah.
He could.
So I think something may happen there with the money. Like, because now
that's what we saw, that shot of a prenup in the upcoming episode.
And wasn't Lip trying to get her to sign it or something like that? Was that Lip?
I thought it was her husband. It was kind of crazy. Is her husband actually?
I don't know.
Wanted to.
I think he's
prince
up to something. Same. They haven't given enough of his character.
That's right. I said that when I was here two weeks ago. I was like, you wait for this. You wait for it.
Well, so we don't send Ronnie a heart attack. I'm going to cut you guys off, because at the end of the day, we'll prove to be completely wrong about all.
Yes, one prediction. I predict that Frank is going to continue to piss in old boy's bed.
Yes.
Well, good thing is I won't be here for the wrong prediction. But thanks for having me this time.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you for coming.
Yeah, thank you, Q. You added a lot too.
I thank Ronnie.
Thank you, Ronnie.
Thank you guys
for being in the booth and allowing me to be out here. It is a rare treat.
It was great.
I hope you guys enjoyed it.
We appreciate you, Phil.
If you guys didn't enjoy, I certainly hope the audience did.
Yes.
Once again, thank you for joining us. Where can they find you one more time?
At KasimB on Twitter, QASIMB. And you can watch my movie, Muslim, on Netflix.
Yeah. Come over to my place. Watch it.
Me along, Danny Glover. Oh, man, getting cut off. All right.
It's great. Spicy.
Round of applause.
At spicy_Mari.
Yes.
And check her out on other AfterBuzz TV shows. Curtis.
Facebook, just Curtis Taylor.
Check him out on the BT. We do BT's The Game after the show. So check him out on that Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Tom Detrinus.
TDT or Detrinus.com.
There you go. And feel free to chat at AfterBuzzTV.com. I don't really use my personal Twitter too much, but. Yeah, why not?
I will just say this show is so good because, again, I'm in the booth and I'm obsessed to go see what you guys all saw, because this show is crazy. And even like the group of us, like all different walks of life, like Shameless really brings it. And shout out to our iTunes people, because they continue to write really good stuff about what we're doing and how we're recapping this particular show. So
thanks.
Shout out our iTunes people, and you guys rocked it. It was fun to watch.
Thanks. Well, we'll be back next week rocking away.
Thanks
guys. Right. See you next week.
Peace.
I left a buzz.
From producers Kevin Undergaro and Phil Svitek, engineer DJ Jesse Janity, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. If you have questions or comments, be sure to buzz us at info@AfterBuzzTV.com. And you can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter by searching for AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.
Thank you.